Which is a more likely reunion, Vinny? Maurizio Pochettino and Tottenham or Vinny Purs and Dundalk?
There was the setup. I see it.
OTB AM. Weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with GetSet Go. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetSetGo.ie.
Time for us to turn our attention to Gaelic football. Anthony Moyles is with us this Monday morning. Anthony, how are you getting on?
Good, Jarrett, and yourself?
Yeah, we're excited about the quality of football we're seeing. Who knew that having the best teams play each other in summertime was the best way forward for the sport? Who knew this?
It's a massive surprise, I think, to so many people, you know, that this could be unearthed. You know, if only you had some semblance of thought over the last 15 or 20 years that maybe this could be tried out. But hey, here we are, you know, and we've stumbled into it, and it is fantastic. There's teams being watched now that over the last 4 or 5 years, if I saw them on the TV, I just go, nah, next. And I sat down to watch plenty of football over the weekend, and I was massively surprised. Derry and Cavan being one, I don't think I'd be a massive fan of how Derry played football over the last 5 or 6 years, but a fantastic game over the weekend. You know, like, I mean, end to end, some brilliant scores, some serious players. You know, it's just a festival, Ger. That's what we're being, you know, dished up at the moment. It's absolutely unbelievable.
I hate to make the champion, how much we can read into this for a championship argument immediately here, but on that Derry point, you look at Donegal at the moment, maybe without Michael Murphy, without a couple of other key players, they've got to get past Derry in a knockout championship, who absolutely have their tails up at the moment. I didn't see this Derry-Cavan game. How good is this team?
Oh, I've been watching them. Oh, sorry. The last couple of weeks, the results, obviously, and what Gallagher has been trying to do, you know, and I think, you know, Gallagher was, I suppose, with the Fermanagh situation, was tarnished with the brush of, well, he's just bringing that defensive situation that he brought and helped out with Donegal just into the Fermanagh situation. But I think he probably realised it was horses for courses to a certain degree with Fermanagh with regard to their forward power. And he obviously decided, well, listen, we're not going to leak too much in behind. So, and then what we can do on the break, we'll do that. But with Derry, he has some unbelievable ability in the forward line. Like there's a young lad, McGuigan, who's playing full forward. And he's as good as I've seen. I think he scored 8 points at the weekend. They've got a guy, Bradley, in midfield, who kicked 3 unbelievable scores off his left foot at full pace. Like, if you want to go back and just, you know, watch ball striking and ball striking from distance, and he's a unit, he's well able to move. Obviously, Glass is in midfield. That's the first time I've really seen him. And, you know, he's obviously a physical specimen, well able to motor around the pitch. But he does an awful lot of donkey work that's needed, you know, back tracking back, dispossessing, kind of breaking up plays. He's a real force in that midfield. Derry always had very, very mobile midfielders, and this really fits the bill. So, you know, they're nice. They've transitioned from, they were always quite defensive, not defensive, sorry. They would work the ball out through hands, but previously they would actually bring it through midfield on hands and say they'd have someone like Mark Lynch who would loop around, take the ball on, and then it'd be all intricate little passing. Whereas now they're kind of getting to a position maybe between the half-back line and midfield, and then they're launching lovely balls in, you know, passes out in front of forwards, coming out at pace. They either have runners offside or they're well able to take their own men on. So, like, I mean, it's funny, that's not a foregone conclusion, that Donegal game. If I'm Bonner, I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching these guys and saying, wow, these fellas need serious watching, because they've got great pace, they've got some serious forwards. As I say, as a defensive unit, they're well able to do it. Like, really, I thought Cavan were massively lucky to get just whatever it was, a 4 or 5 point loss, because it could have been 10 points. Derry could have had 3 or 4 goals, certainly 2 goals in the first half. And, you know, they were 7 or 8 up. I think they took the foot off the gas a little bit. They gave away a really bad goal. But it's funny how a game can flip, because there was only 3 or 4 in it then. And Gallagher, I'd say, was tearing his hair out, kind of saying, Jesus, after all the hard work we've done, we could potentially slip up here. But a really sign of an unbelievable forward and a leader in the making was McGuigan won a ball out under the stand, out on the sideline, got it, turned a man, came through and kicked the score, and then kicked the next score, an unbelievable free, practically on the sideline after winning the free himself. So he got two scores when they badly needed, and that killed the game. So, yeah, it's not... Like, it's funny, you know, these games where you're pitting yourself, if you get a run in them, which obviously Derry are showing, you're bringing massive momentum into a championship match. And I know Donegal are going well, but, you know, like, I mean... Should Armagh have beaten them at the weekend? I think Armagh ran out of steam, and Donegal, McBurtie just stood up and hit some unbelievable scores to pull them back into it. But as you say, that's going to be a tricky enough affair for them.
Yeah, Shane McGuigan's the Sláintneil player. There was a story last year that Gavin Devlin had actually been working with Sláintneil, so he was getting a bit of other inter-county insight from a Tyrone coach at the time, obviously, and obviously you've been watching a lot more of him over the last little while than I have, but apparently he was very left-footed, and now this league campaign is kicking off both sides of the body, and you throw him in there, he's only 22 or 23, Conor Glass around the same age, I think, at this point, Anthony, that this is a team that isn't just geared up for this summer, that this is a real building job that we're witnessing.
I think so, and you know, it's great to see them back. You know, Derry are a powerhouse. You know, certainly when I played, you know, you go up there and the likes of the players that they had, Sean Marty, Lockhart, and all the different lads, the Scullions, different, just they always had class all over the pitch. As I said, usually a very, very mobile unit, especially around the middle, and some great forwards. But it was always going to be a tricky affair. They always had a great attitude to playing football. And I think for a long time there, they lost their way. You know, it might have been 7-8 years. They were seen as, I think, a little bit of cannon fodder, really, up there. They had a real lack of kind of, it seemed, togetherness. Fellas being pulled off different directions. You know, when it really came down to the fight, they were lacking. So it's excellent to see this. Now, Cavan didn't help themselves at all. They set up absolutely terribly against them and handed them an awful lot. And to be honest with you, as far as conditioning went, you know, Derry just kept going and going and going. And when Cavan tried to lift it, Derry lifted it again. So, you know, he's doing a lot of right things. And I have to say, it's a trajectory that's massively on the way up rather than anywhere going flatlining or on the way down.
Can I ask you a general question before we get into the Armagh Donegal match? Why is the quality of football so good at the moment? What is it about where we are in the evolution of the sport that is seeing teams try and attack? The skill level seems to be quite high. We're seeing outrageous points from all four divisions. What's going on?
Yeah, like I think that was always there, Ger, in the last number of years. Like, first of all, teams are much better prepared. Players are much better prepared. Players themselves are into it a lot more. You know, they don't see training as just going and getting flogged and blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, they're researching an awful lot more. So physically, they're much better. They're in better shape. Athletically, they're in much better shape. You know, even from 10 years ago, okay? So they're able to go harder, run faster. They're able to take hits better. They're able to move around players better. Their ability to transition the ball is much better. All of those things. And then skill levels are improving. So you know, we spoke about this the last time about, you know, how the games administration and different people have decided to try to set different rules and bring in, you know, try to alter the game to try and disrupt strategies that were used. Well, that's just how games develop, you know. And, you know, I can see a situation, we were talking last week about goalkeepers, how important goalkeepers have become. And I think you're going to see more and more of that, that goalkeepers are going to be basically an outfield player. The ability to maybe, you know, if I was managing a team, as soon as the goalkeeper would get a ball, you often see this where a defender will come in and take the ball off the goalkeeper. Like, why would you do that? You're bringing a forward in, and you're essentially now becoming two players rather than one. So what you'd actually do is you'd actually get all your defenders to split out as far as you could and create a funnel, create a tunnel right down the middle of the pitch for the goalkeeper just to go and let him keep going. And have an ability that you have like a fly goalkeeper. You have a defender who can just sit back if needs be. And if the goalkeeper goes up there, he doesn't have to run all the way 60 yards back. He can just slip in and you know, maybe just stand in there, because a lot of defenders, you have some man-marking defenders, but you also then have some defenders who are just necessarily in space. So that's, I think, the next transition. And what would kill me is You know, and you could see it, you know, that someone in some rules body says, oh, a goalkeeper can't go past the 21, you know. So, like, the game has to develop, you know, innovation has to come into it. And I think what you've seen recently is that teams and managers and coaches have decided, okay, we can set up relatively defensively and get ourselves set, but we need to be able to transition the ball, and we need to have forwards who have the ability to at pace kick scores over the bar, and who can, you know, intricately kind of pass the ball and at pace be able to kick off left or right. The importance of having left and right as a forward is unbelievable now, especially if you have a defender there, but you also have another extra defender there who can potentially take you off if you're right-footed. So I just think the game is in a very, very good place. I don't think it's anything to do with, to be honest with you, I think the rule changes over the last while. I was scratching my head last night thinking of the rule changes. What rule change has come in that has actually aided the game? And over the last several years, I don't honestly think there is one. Like, even the black card, I'm not so sure about that.
What about the kick out? Go on.
That's what I was going to say. The kick out mark is the only thing I would maybe...
Not even the mark, the fact that you can't kick it inside your own 13 anymore.
That has helped, you know, but like, I mean, what you see an awful lot now is a team will concede just that small kick out just outside the top of the D, you know, yeah. Or a guy will just come in, they'll just pop it there left and right. You know, like, I mean, yeah, slightly maybe that one. But like, I mean, you know, the people say about the black card, it has stopped cynical fouling. Well, if the yellow card was used correctly, you know, it, like, I mean, in my day, if I got a yellow card, I was like, okay, and I saw you, Jer, coming in at me, I was thinking, I'm going to have to be careful. Whereas if I didn't have the yellow card, I'd be thinking something else. So you have to, like, the black card, you know, if it's in the last minute of a game, you know, the whole Sean Kavanagh thing, yeah. Whether he gets a black card, a yellow card, or a red card, he's still doing that foul. You know, it doesn't make a difference. He's still taking one for the team. He's still stopping that player. So the mark out the field, the offensive mark, more and more and more, you can see teams that they're just not deploying it. Guys are actually forgetting about it. I would imagine managers and coaches are just saying, listen, when we play the game in training, just play it. Don't worry about this offensive mark, because it's more confusing than anything, you know. So, look, I think the game's in a great, great place. It's fantastic to see. I think fellas are really enjoying. You know, it's funny. You're seeing players, you know, express themselves. I was watching Benny Herron, who's a Derry player and has been there for a long number of years. And my poor old memory of Benny would just be that he was like a lad on a track, just up and down and up and down and up and down. And the poor fella, I'd say he must have run about 25 miles in every game, just up and down. And, like, I mean, sick of running. And I was delighted to see him get a couple of scores, because he actually played as a forward the other day. And I'd say he has a new lease of life, just kind of going, this is fantastic, you know. So it's look, I think it's in great. I just hope no one starts tinkering with things. Actually, as a matter of fact, they should start stripping back some of those rules they brought in over the last while. That would be a great thing. I saw Tomás O'Shea mention it, and it really would, because like just let the game flow and let managers work out things and have tactics and strategies around it.
And I think a lot of those rule changes were a reaction to negative tactics. Negative tactics are a natural reaction to fear, and fear is a natural reaction to championship structure, which is weighted against so many of the counties in Ireland anyway. So I don't know. I think you're dead right there, and Tomás O'Shea is right in trying to scale back things. Just John, Armagh Donegal, a 1-16 apiece draw on Saturday night. Like, there was this real sense of disappointment around Armagh last year, I felt, Anthony, where there is this collection of really talented young players who we thought could really put it up to Donegal, and they fell completely flat in that Ulster Championship game. Have you seen concrete proof this year during the league that that's not going to happen to them again this year?
I think so. It's funny, if you remember that game, it was literally done and dusted within 10 minutes. Do you remember? Like, I mean, they just got absolutely blown out. And I'd say McGeaney went into this one and he said, well, the one thing we're not going to do is we're not going to start slowly. So they came out of the blocks. They had Donegal and real butter. We spoke a little bit about them, the O'Neill lads, different players that they have. I think they have an awful lot of talent. I do take this point that they are, you know, they're leaving kind of two men up front, maybe three sometimes, but mostly two, kind of at 11 and 14. And then they tried to transition and get the ball up into space. It is tiring. And on a night like Saturday, they definitely ran out of legs. You could see it. You know, they were absolutely out on their feet in that last 7 or 8 minutes, and Donegal just started picking them off. I think, you know what, I don't think McGeaney will worry too much about that. I think he'll actually go, you know what, I can work on that, and I can work on, you know, putting the foot down on the accelerator and then taking it off at times and trying to control things. Like, you see the better teams, you know, Kerry's and the Dublins and this, that they'll burst for 5 or 6 minutes. And then when they get the ball, they'll just control things a little bit. They'll kick it about a bit. They'll give everyone a bit of a breather. They'll start to probe a bit in the left. They'll come back in the centre. And they'll just start to, as I say, give everyone a little bit of a chance to catch their breath. Whereas Armagh was kind of full throttle nearly for 50, 55 minutes. And it eventually caught them. I think they're on a... Just like Derry, I think they're really improving. They're a big physical team. They've got some really nice natural footballers. They play a nice brand of football on attacking wise. I think McGeaney will be very happy, and I think he'll just say to himself, "You know what? We can sort this out. We'll go in bursts rather than being full throttle, as they say." And I think again, they're a team over the next few years that will really, really compete.
We're in real danger of Ulster breaking away to form a Super League at this point. This is going to be like the best summer of football from the province of all time. Just on Cork against Clare as well, I know we're hopping around here a little bit, but I know you're watching this game. I was watching this game yesterday. It probably was maybe the biggest game of the weekend in many senses, that I guess there was an opportunity to get top spot, an opportunity to play Meath for a place in Division 1. Like, we know how competitive Division 2 has been over the last little while. I'm not sure did Clare realise at the end how significant it was, that Cork score. Maybe they had the 4 point swing in their head all game, and maybe losing by a point didn't really hit home with them. But facing Mayo as opposed to Meath in 2 weeks' time is a far tougher task for Cullum Collins and this Clare group of footballers who are going so well at the moment.
It is, and they play some fantastic football. You know, they had Cork in butter at lots of times. Cork, it reminded me kind of a boxing match, you know, where both of them were just kind of, you know, landing jabs every now and again, but no one really hit that killer punch. Both teams, I think Clare have done a remarkable job. He has built an unbelievable spirit within that squad. You can see it. He's bringing in fellas that are, you know, I'm not saying they're average footballers, but they're workhorses. But they know the system, they know their job, they know what's required of them. They don't try to do anything different, and they completely accept the task that they've been given. And they find the fellas who can kick points, and they generally get the ball to them. You know, like, I mean, Tuberty was just, I have to say, I thought he was absolutely brilliant. You know, for a guy who's shown a little bit of grey around the sides, it was refreshing to see him. He just reminds me of a lad who just, you know, he just kind of steps out there, you know, his free taking off the ground. You know, it's not a very technically kind of, you wouldn't put it up there and kind of say, this is how you kick a free. But he's a success. He just sticks down, bang, over the bar. Some of his point scoring from hand was brilliant. He ran out of a bit of steam, but he's a guy who, if I had him, I'd be saying, listen, don't even bother running back, just stay up front, because he's lethal. And you know what, they've done remarkably well. They'll give a go against Mayo, but you're right, I don't think they really, if they had just pushed on that a little bit more, and as you say, had that in their head that, you know, potentially there was the game against Meath, because, you know, even last year they gave Meath a good rattle. And you know, if we're going on the recent results, obviously a game against Meath would have been more favourable for them. But look, I think he'd be very, very happy. They as a squad would be very, very happy. And you know, again, their trajectory is moving upwards rather than any other way.
The other stuff in the weekend that we kind of need to pay some attention to is the fact that Galway didn't get blown out, that they seem to have, in the space of 3 weeks, realised that it's possible to graft on a defensive structure that will prevent you conceding goals. Is this important? Does this matter?
Not really. I think Dublin were in, you know, second to third gear, I think, at times. You know, I wouldn't be reading too much into it. I think there was a number of dead rubbers that was in there to a certain degree. I just think, Jared, that Galway, the first day, as I said, remember we covered it, they came out against Kerry, and you don't come out against Kerry with lack of intensity, and they came out with no intensity, and they were just absolutely blown to smithereens. The next day, they had to respond. I'm not so sure. I don't know. I really don't know where this Galway team is. I watched Roscommon again against Kerry. I think Roscommon are motoring well. I think they've been unlucky, but I think Cunningham will be happy with what they're doing. They have some good firepower up front. Murta is shooting the lights out. They've got some nice intricate play. They mix long ball with short ball very, very nice. They've got a good solid defence. They're improving big time. They've got good runners. There's sometimes a little bit one trick, you know, where they have the runners coming from midfield. But at the same time, they're putting up big scores against good teams, you know, and ultimately they had a very tough group. So that Connacht is going to be tricky. It really is. Like, Mayo have been going about their business very, very well. And I didn't see the game, but I believe against Meath, you know, they were impressive. The game was over, obviously, at halftime. And Meath made a lot of changes and probably showed that Mayo have an awful lot more depth. But, you know, Galway, for me, this is a tricky time for Pádraig. Like, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind Pádraig is a winner, and he demands that his team are winners. But I think when he stands up in front of that team and he says, you know what, we could win in All-Ireland, which he came out with a number of months ago, or maybe 6 or 9 months ago, and says that he doesn't think that Galway should be up there challenging. I think that Pádraig believes that. He absolutely 100% believes it. My question, though, is do the players, and do all the players, really believe it? And sometimes when I watch them, I kind of think it could go either way, you know? And that's something that they really have to get over. They have to get that consistency in and be a team like a la Mayo that just will always give it to you no matter what. Like, they will be competing right to the very end.
You mentioned that performance from Roscommon yesterday. There's a couple of interesting things that they did which maybe will be important in the context of Kerry as we go into this summer. So after weekend one, Anthony, everybody was kind of glorifying Kerry for their gag and pressing or heavy metal football, as Joe Brawley put it in his article, about the fact that them pressing your kick out is their avenue into getting the best out of themselves. But what Roscommon and Dublin have done over the last couple of weeks, they've actually turned that into a weakness for Kerry, because once Kerry are pressed up and the goalkeeper goes long and you win that kick out, as Enda Smith and Tiger Rourke did on a couple of occasions yesterday, then you just turn around and you lump that ball right in on that Kerry full back line. We obviously saw Conor Callaghan getting one over Paul Murphy in that avenue 2 weeks ago, or last weekend, and then we saw, I think, Roscommon getting a point or two off that avenue as well yesterday. At the same time, when Kerry dropped bodies back after they went down to 14 men yesterday, they conceded the goal after that. So maybe Peter Keane just comes away from yesterday saying to himself, thinking to himself, we know the weakness that comes as a result of us pushing up in the kick out, but look it, we're just going to have to live with it, and the greater outcome may come as a result of the weakness that we'll expose for ourselves.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. On, you know, I watched it intently again, obviously, because I think it's actually fantastic to see how. So what's happening in Kerry is obviously the focus is on all the forwards, but actually the real battle and the real strategy and the real plan and everything is around what's actually happening in the defence. And that's what's keeping Peter Keane up at night with his management team. He knows that Clifford and all the rest of the boys up there will do what they need to do. But the defence, we spoke last week about them not syncing with the ball, and what I mean by that is that they're kind of getting caught with their back to the play sometimes, and they're not realizing that there's players around them. So fellas are tunnel vision, looking at a guy with a ball and not realizing that there's actually a free man here. Now, whose fault is that? Is it me with my back to the guy, or is it another guy behind me not calling me? And again, it happened. If you look back in that Roscommon game, there was a number of times where players were tracking players. But then as the Roscommon player came across the middle, the Kerry guy stopped and kind of reverted to kind of just going back into the in around the top of the D, just like, okay, I'm here, but I'm not really here. Whereas the Roscommon guy tracked, kept running and was found with little dinky balls over the top. And that's it's not laziness, okay? I don't think they're lazy defenders, but I just think there's a lack of awareness of, first of all, if I'm tracking a guy and that is my job, well, then I have to track him no matter where he goes. If I'm playing zonal and I'm playing in a defense that's going to sink and move across left and right as the ball does that, well, then I'm doing that. But who's marking the danger men? And I think there's a lack of understanding of where the actual danger is. A lot of Roscommon guys from the half back and the full back line were punching holes, and three or four Kerry guys would collapse in on him, and then he'd just slip out a hand pass to the likes of Murta, and Murta would just come around the loop and bang over the bar. Instead of realizing, look, this guy's probably not going to kick the ball after running 40 yards, he's not going to stick this over the bar, so we'll shepherd him with one player, and then we'll also pick up all the danger guys around the edge. And for some of the guys, I know they had a couple of fellas in the defense that wouldn't normally be there, but it's a lesson for them. And you know, they're going to score 114, 115 off you. That's just a given. I think that's in them nearly every week. The problem is, are they going to concede 215 or 216? And if you can sort that out, and I still haven't seen a real solidity in there yet that would tell me that actually Dublin at full pace, or indeed Mayo at full pace, that they can really start to, you know, kind of lock them down. There's plenty of holes still there. I think he's still toying with, are we man marking some guys? Are we zonal sometimes? So he's got a bit of work to do.
And I think the reason why there are a couple of new faces in there, Anthony, was because they're being tested out to see if they can be the guy who locks down a defence. Like, I mean, this is all part of the very conversation that you raise. Tyrone is going to be a very interesting matchup for them then, in 2 weeks' time. This is, I guess, something that's been forgotten about a little bit from the 2019 summer, was that Tyrone really had them on the rack for a large period of that game before Kerry kicked on in that second half of that semi-final. They have since then come together and put together a far more impressive forward line since then, an attacking style of play that will give most defences a runaround, let alone a defence that is struggling to find its identity.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% agree with you, and also quite a physically imposing forward line. You know, Roscommon's forward line yesterday, a lot of guys of similar kind of stature and height, a lot of speed, a lot of jinkiness. Tyrone will be much more direct, and I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for that Kerry defence, to be honest with you. You know, they have been caught, as you say. You know, you look back at the Conor Callaghan goal, okay, it was on Murphy, but there's been a number of high balls that have gone in there that have just caused major panic. Even there was one or two yesterday that they got away with, but I think they got away with it out of luck. There wasn't any I didn't feel there was a kind of a composure, assuredness of, you know, one of them just calling it and grabbing it out of the air and everyone else on the ground waiting for breaks. There was just kind of like we're all going for it. There was a sense of panic around. So that's going to be a big one for him. It is going to be big. And Tyrone will absolutely want to take a scalp there, because they will figure that as, this is us putting a marker down. Because it's a big game for them.
Yeah.
They need to prove themselves over the last number of weeks.
No, 100%. Listen, the clock is a little bit against us, but we will get in a good bit more detail about Tyrone and where they are, because it is one of those stories, that revolution that's happened there as well. Anthony, good stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cheers, lad.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.